you doing? My name's Cammy, for those of you who don't know me. I'm married to Fiona. We've got a wee boy, he's quite a chunky boy actually, called Murray. It's okay, I'm quite proud of it, it's not a bad thing. He takes after me. Me and my wife work with an organisation called Navigators, and we also work with the Christian Union up at the uni. And our role is to help support the leaders in the CU and their mission on campus. And with the Navigators, our vision is to help disciple students so that as they grow or come to know for the first time and then grow in their faith with Jesus, that faith overflows in their life to influence, and I guess so they can share that with their friends and family around about them. Tonight, I want to look at a couple of things. I want to look at why I think student ministry matters, and then look at some aspects of what I think, a couple of aspects of what it looks like to have a healthy student ministry. I should have a PowerPoint, but I'm not sure if it's working. This is a campus at Stirling. It's absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful place to spend time. Okay, a few reasons why. First, maybe quite selfishly, I think students are incredibly interesting people. So whenever you go to Freshers Week and you start meeting new people, initially you're quite intimidated. But see, once you get to know people, you realize there's 11,000 plus people who are incredibly interesting, who have a variety of backgrounds, experiences, interests, hobbies, languages. Student ministry is just incredibly exciting and stimulating. You're never bored if you work with students. Secondly, why is student ministry valuable? Why does it matter? It's a key stage of life for most people. So people are becoming adults during these key years in their life. And I don't just mean physically, but they're developing a sense of identity, developing a sense of conviction about life, what's really important in life, and also a sense of direction, not just what job am I going to do, but what do I want to do with my life? If I've got 60 years ahead of me, what am I going to invest it in, and where am I going to go? And these are the kind of decisions that people are making, whether they're aware of it or not, at this stage of life. Thirdly, is the influence for the rest of life. So a lot of people who study universities are going to go on to have influential jobs and be influential people in society and all over the world. And what we want to say is, if you're going on to do these kind of jobs, how are you going to use that power? How are you going to use that influence and authority? If people catch a vision of who Jesus is and the goodness that he brings and how he can use their life to bless others, how would that change our society? If people gave their power and authority for good, not for themselves. And fourthly, Alistair touched on this morning. The quote that he said was, in the 50s, people danced because they had hope. In 2000, they danced because they've lost hope. And I think one of the things that marks our, I might say my generation and younger, is this loss of hope. I meet so many students who think that they don't matter as an individual, and who think that what they do with their life really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. And if you, at the age of between 18 to early 20s, can understand that God loves you, that God's made you a significant individual, and not only does he love you and care about you, but he has plans and purposes for your life to make you a blessing to those around about you, that's going to transform not just that person's life, but all the people who come into contact with that person. And so I think student ministry matters. This is what I've been doing for the last few years. I love it. It's what gets me out of bed in the morning and makes me stay up late at night. I think it's incredibly worthwhile. All forms of ministry are worthwhile. I should caveat that, but I'm particularly passionate about this. So some aspects of a healthy student ministry, if this works. This is a picture of a fig tree up at, I think it's Cowan Hospital, beside the Church of the Holy Rood. I was up here for lunch one day when it was sunny, really lovely sunny September, and I popped up for lunch, and I was sitting there, and I seen this fig tree, and it's got a cage built around about it. It made me really sad. I love gardening, and I was just like, why would someone build a cage around a tree? But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, this is a great metaphor for what ministry shouldn't be. So this isn't a positive picture, it's a negative picture. And what I thought would be helpful tonight was just to look at what are some of the things that make for a healthy student ministry environment. So there's two questions we have to ask. What is the purpose of people's lives? And what kind of environment enables them to fulfill that purpose well? So for a fig tree, a fig tree's purpose, as we read in Genesis this morning, is to look beautiful and to bear good fruit. So God made trees to be pleasant to the sight and good for food. And this is supposed to look beautiful and give people food to eat. But this environment stops that happening. I've got some more in-depth pictures in a minute. But people and trees are very similar in the Bible. Sorry, they're not very similar in the Bible. A metaphor of people as trees is used often in the Bible. People were meant to be rooted in God. Their lives were supposed to display the beauty of God, and the fruit that their lives produce was supposed to benefit and sustain those round about them. So we're just going to look at these three things: roots, visible beauty, and bearing fruit. As you'll see, I don't mean beauty as in aesthetic beauty. I'd be falling short there, but hopefully real beauty. These three areas: roots, visible beauty, and bearing fruit. The roots, all trees need roots to live, and this tree has some good roots because it's pretty big. It's got a lot of leaf on it. My primary thing when I think about student ministry, what I say to the every year when new people come on to the committee to lead the CU, is that actually, even if you have a horrendous year, if everything goes wrong, if Text a Toastie fails, if Freshers Week is a failure, what really matters is, have you grown closer to Jesus over the course of this year? Because as we put roots down into Jesus, as we learn to love him, listen to him, he'll change our life and he'll use us in wherever we've got. But if we set standards of, I want to achieve here, 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 and here, and God's over here somewhere, then we're going to have a hard time and life is going to catch up with us. But most of us have spent our lives listening to the voices of the world round about us. And for someone to learn to start to listen to Jesus, to hear his voice, and to hear what he says is true of us and what he wants us to do, will guaranteed change the direction and course of your life. So roots, we want student ministry to be enabling and encouraging people to put down roots into Jesus. Secondly, visible beauty. Isaiah 61 talks about people being a planting, oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display his beauty. So a planting of the Lord to display his beauty. This picture of trees, big trees, oak trees, and they're visible to people all around them. And when people see them, what they see is not just the tree's beauty, but the Lord's beauty. And one of the things that caged trees do is they hide themselves. So when you look at this, you can't see the trunk, you can't see the branches, you can't see what's going on. There's just a mass of leaves, and you can't get in to see what this tree is like. Now, this is a good example of a fig tree. You see its branches, you see its trunk, you see how it's gnarled and how it's broken in certain places. It's not as safe as the other one, but it's visible and it's real. And so when I mean beauty, I don't mean perfection, as if we have to be perfect Christians who show a perfect Christian life to the world around about us. What people want to see is real life, authentic life. And one of the phrases that came to me when I was thinking about this is that wounds are made beautiful by grace. And are we willing to show people our wounds that God has healed or is in the process of healing? One of the guys I work with, Bernard, he's nearly 50. And I just look at him and I think, you know everything there is to know about life and about ministry. Like, he's just exceptionally competent. And I was at a meeting with him during the week, and he shared one of the verses that God's been encouraging him with recently. It's a verse in, I think it's 2 Kings 3:7, maybe. And Solomon prays to God, and he says, Lord, you've made me king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child, and I don't know what to do. And Bernard says that's one of the things he's been praying over the last few weeks. And for him to let me into his life, actually, he feels weak, he feels unable, he feels incapable, but he's trusting that God will teach him and use him, is beautiful. It's a beautiful picture of dependence and of depending on God's grace. So what makes for a healthy student ministry is people being loved enough to take off the mask, loved enough to show the reality of their lives, but the reality of God at work in their lives, of grace, of forgiveness, of healing. And many people have come to know Jesus through a Christian really opening up and showing the reality of what grace looks like. Thirdly, fruit, good fruit. So fruit is the things that come out of our lives as we get to know God. Good actions, good habits, our gifts, our abilities, the things we're able to do that bless and benefit other people. I don't know if you can see it, in the cage there's a wee tiny fig kind of up in the center near the top on the left-hand picture. And that was the only fruit I could find in that fig tree, one fruit on that massive tree. And that fruit's never going to ripen, and that fruit's never going to get eaten because no one can get in to enjoy it. And when we cage people, although fruit starts to grow in their life, it never actually blesses people. And one of the things that can often happen is if we stay within a Christian bubble or we stay within a Christian group, is that although our gifts and talents and abilities are put to good use, we keep it in here. And God's saying, don't keep it for yourself. I've blessed you so that you can be a blessing to the world, so that people can experience the goodness of God through our actions. When the tree on the right is a free tree, and when trees are allowed to fruit and to ripen, the fruit is there for anyone walking by to come by and enjoy, whether they appreciate it or not. But isn't that a picture of God's gifts to us? He gives us good things, whether we acknowledge them or not, and we are created to reflect that. Just an example, a friend of mine, his father-in-law, I've told this story at other evening services because I love it. A friend of mine's father-in-law was a farmer in California, and one of the decisions he made when he paid his workers, his employees, most of them were migrants from Mexico who'd cross the border in the summer to harvest fruit on his farm. And one of the things when he decided how much he was going to pay them was he would never ask what's the legal minimum wage. He wouldn't ask what are other farmers paying. And he wouldn't even ask what am I able to afford. But he would say, what would the Lord ask me to pay these men? And what do they need in order to feed their family and to look after their families well? And sometimes that meant he really didn't make very much money off of his harvest. But the goodness, the fruit that was born in his life in that one area blessed hundreds of people financially. But also these men went away and they used to come back every summer. One guy traveled up to visit him shortly before he died. And he says, every summer I came straight for your farm because we knew how good and generous you were. He says, every day of my life, I've tried to bring my sons up to be just like you. This guy didn't come to know Jesus, maybe he has now, but he modeled something of God's generosity in the way that he practically lived his life. When I look at the university, the students that I know, they're an incredibly talented, gifted group of people. And as Christians, what we want to say is grow those gifts, develop those gifts, but go out and be a blessing. Be out in the world and bless other people. Don't be caged in socially, religiously, in any way, whether it's through shyness or fear. We want you to be able to go and be a blessing in the way that God has made you to be. So tonight, maybe if you're a student, you feel like that first tree. You feel caged, you feel trapped in. You don't feel that you're free to really explore and become who God's created you to be. I'd really encourage you, if that's how you feel, chat to myself or Rosie, chat to someone you know and care about. Cages are there to be taken away. I actually looked at that and there's bolts kind of all the way around and I was like, I wonder if I could just come up some night and take it off. I think I'd be quite a good bit of social defiance. I'm not going to do it. Well, maybe I will. But secondly, if you're not a student, if you're part of the church or you're a bit older, or younger, and you're not a student, we want to be asking the question, how do we encourage students to become who God has created them to be? We all have plans and desires and things that we would love students to help us with, But what would it look like for us to ask the question, what is God doing in this person's life? And what part can I play in allowing them to flourish, to grow, and to bear fruit wherever God is calling them? And part of my heart behind this isn't just about 4 years, although the 4 years that people spend at uni is incredibly significant and hugely influential. This isn't just about 4 years, but as people learn to grow and flourish and become who God's called them to be, they'll change people and they'll change society for the rest of their lives. So my heart is that these students will get to know Jesus, be rooted in him, that they'll learn to share their lives with people and show God's grace, and that the fruit that they bear will be seen by people so that God will be seen more clearly and by a world who is desperately in need of hearing the gospel and coming to know Jesus. Let's pray, and then I think the band are going to come back up. I'm just going to read a few verses from a prayer that Jesus prayed just before he was crucified. He prayed this for his followers. He said, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth." Jesus, thank you that you've prayed for us. Thank you that you've asked the Father to keep us safe from evil, and that you constantly pray on our behalf. And Lord, I pray that your prayer for us would be true in our lives, that we would be in the world just as you were in the world, amongst people who are far from you, but loving them well, sharing our lives, and bearing fruit that brings you glory. And Lord, I pray particularly for the students at Stirling Uni, for those that know you, that they would be rooted in you, to know your love, and to know how much you care for them and delight in them. But Lord, we also pray that their lives would be used by you to draw other people to you. They would be lives of beauty and lives of fruit that ultimately bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.